This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. An hour in and already having so much fun as we got right into it today and really didn't get done what we normally do in the first segment or two, which is just to kind of check in with all of us, see how the weekend went, what was going on, break the ice.
A little foreplay.
Barry, we wanted to know, how was the show? We already know about the Blitz. You took one for the team. We appreciate that. But now you had you closed down the joke joint.
Y'all know I'm a crier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've established that I cry pretty easy on emotional stuff. And so it was a pretty crazy weekend.
I appreciate you crying in my defense on Twitter. That was nice of you.
Between the services for my buddy Chris Reed on Friday. Then I had to work with AJ. That made me cry. Mm-hmm. But then Sunday or Saturday night, going out and closing out the joke joint. You know what's really sad about it is the club closing is sad, and losing the work as a comedian sucks. But it's the people that work there. They were like family to me as much as I was there. And they basically saw me start as an awful comedian trying to do this and then get to where I'm at now, which is a semi-awful comedian that is doing this. But they saw me grow, and I got to know them, and they're like family. I mean, it was really, really sad. And I also, that's where I met my buddy Ed Blake, who passed away, who's a comedian. And so to be the last person to ever perform at the joke joint was a huge honor for me, and it went great. Mike Jackson showed up, and I got to tell you, man, I got a lot of support, and I've got a lot of people that come to a lot of shows, but I can't say that there's anyone that has supported me more than Mike the Truth. That dude has come to so many shows by himself just to support his friend.
That's awesome.
I can't thank that dude enough. Like, he showed up front and center last night, or Saturday night, and it's just like, dude, like, you, that's big, man. That especially for a guy that's trying to do this and chase this stupid dream, to have guys like Mike the Truth come out and support on his own. I didn't beg him. I didn't ask him. I didn't go, hey, Mike, you coming tonight? He just shows up. It was really cool. But to do my buddy Ed Blake, who passed away, I did one of his jokes on stage, and I gave him credit, but I didn't say it up front. I just wanted to do the joke because I wanted him to be there. Because that's where we met, and he had closed down. The joke joint used to be called the Comedy Showcase. Mm-hmm. And when they closed, the new owners bought it like a year later or 6 months later. But when they closed, Ed was the last person to perform on that stage.
Ah.
So the staff was the same staff. So they all loved Ed. And me, Ed and I became fast friends. And so they were sad. So I told him I was going to do something special. So I did one of his jokes, and that meant a lot to me and to them to have him kind of included in this, and brought them on stage after I was done to give them the recognition they deserve. And I'm just going to miss it, man. It really sucks. And I think my big takeaway is, like, just go support what we have. It's too late to save the joke joint, but go to the improv. I would say go to the Secret Group, but some of those guys were kind of a dick to me this last week. So don't go to the Secret Group if you don't want to. I don't care. I tried to be nice to them, but whatever. But go to the Houston Improv and support local artists, man. Support, if you know a musician, go to a gig. If you know a comedian, go to a gig. Yep. If you know an artist, it's a painter or whatever they do.
If you take pride in the fact that they're from Houston and you love it when people from Houston make it, whether it be on The Voice or in comedy
whatever.
Or whatever it is, support them now so they can get there later.
Support your friends. But support local artists that are trying. And I'm not suggesting, oh, you come to all my shows. I'm just saying in general, man, this stuff like this doesn't happen if the support exists. So
I was completely blindsided because I remember going and then I saw the old location. And then I remember going and saw the new expanded location, which is obviously in the same plaza, but just right, you know, walking distance. Right. And I was just like, all right, well, they're doing okay. They're not going away. And then I saw, you know, I heard you come on the air and say, yeah, they are. And this is the last show. And I was just so blindsided because that was the last thing I would expect. I thought they were at a good spot, thriving, doing at least doing okay.
Yeah.
But they weren't.
It was a shock to a lot of people. I mean, Ken and I, who was the owner, Ken and Becky, who did a lot for my career. And listen, this is a business where you're not always going to get along with everybody. Some comics didn't like them or didn't like the joke joint. And I get that because they're, you know, I mean, I don't get along with people at the secret group. That's just how this business is. It's just the way it works. But I wish nothing but the best for all of them. And there's just personal things that go on in this mm-hmm. business, as you know, just like in sports. Yep. So, but Ken and Becky were nothing but great to me. I wouldn't be where I am at in my career if it weren't for those two and Rachel, who used to be down here running things at the joke joint. And Ken had confided in me about 3 or 4 weeks ago that it wasn't looking good. And I was like, damn. So, I mean, if there's anything I can do, I'll do it. And it's just one of those things. Sometimes businesses just, they fail. And, you know, support means a lot. So that's why, I mean, the big takeaway is, man, support local artists, support local businesses. Even if you only go once or twice a year, it makes a big difference if everybody does that.
No doubt. And we had Sean on. And he was a funny guy. And
he was. I was going to ask you guys.
He had a good story.
By the way, you guys nailed that. I did listen to that. Y'all knocked that out of the park.
He's a funny dude. He's a humble guy.
Easy to do things like that when you got a good dude with a great story that gets it. You know, when a lot of people, as we all talk about behind the scenes, when you turn the microphone on, someone that might have the most bravado and confidence in the world can sometimes, for lack of a better term, nut up and just freeze. And then you get one word answers.
Right.
He knew what he was doing as well as, and he knew how to play the game as well. So it was a lot of fun to interview him, and you want guys like that to succeed.
Yeah, it was great. I was listening, and I'm glad because, the whole thing about the secret group is funny because it's really just a few of like one or two guys over there. The rest of the comics and the staff and guys like Zyde and all these, they're great people. They really are. We have a bunch of great comics in this town, and I do have to tip my cap to the secret group because that's where he performed night. Yeah. And the joke joint, if we're being fair here, they kind of did him dirty. They had to cut him. But, I mean, they're going out of business. So
right. They
can't be like, you know, they were just like, hey, look, sorry, we don't have money to pay you. So they cut him. And the secret group and this entire city of Houston stepped up big. My buddy Sun Tran gave him a place to stay. The secret group got him some gigs. You know, I tried to do my part. Radu told me about it. Was like, hey, can he come on the show? And I was like, yeah, man, let's do this. Let's try to get this dude some publicity and see how it goes. I'm all down for helping.
Yeah, I mean, he did good. I mean, he said he had like six rallied. More shows booked with the secret group.
They said for the week he got 8 to 10 in, I think.
Yeah, and that's good. And that says a lot about those guys at the secret group and how what they do for the scene and how supportive they are of comics. So
well, the cool thing about Sean is that he was not really trying to force a joke on the show. He was just being himself. Yeah. And I think that's the cool thing. We didn't have to necessarily, and not that I don't want to, just hear jokes and laugh at it, but just kind of talk about himself. We got his thoughts on Conor McGregor and the fact that he's Irish and stuff like that. So it was cool. It was cool to have that type of comic in studio.
Very cool.
Very cool.
That's good, man.
Yeah. Not real. Yeah.
So how did Father's Day go? Enough about me. How did Father's Day go?
It was quiet. It was quiet.
Did you get to watch golf?
Some. Yeah. And actually, what really helped me the most was the fact that because of West Coast time, it was so late that by then, Lisa's getting ready for bed and Taylor's getting ready for bed. And I'm like, wow, they still got like 6 holes to play. I'm getting comfortable. I'm going to chill out and watch the end of this golf. By the way, I found out when you always say third base and all these people are your doppelgangers.
Mm-hmm.
I found out Gary Woodland is now supposedly mine. My mother-in-law starts texting me that she and Lisa's dad are convinced that Gary Woodland is my twin. And then several people that I used to work with this morning start texting me and sending me messages. And then Paul, Nick, who you know,
yeah.
Paul runs the digital side for the Rockets. He's like, dude, I saw Gary Woodland, and I'm thinking, that's my boy Joel. He goes, and then this sealed it for me. And he includes this video where Gary Woodland put his hat on backwards and started shooting threes. And he goes, it's it. It's over. And I'm like, so in less than 24 hours, I went, no one saying anything about that. And now suddenly I was like, you know what? Could be worse. I'll take it. I mean, and the dude just won the U.S. Open. But
yeah. It's
a good, he's a good story.
That's cool.
And so I did watch some golf. But you know what? And let me tell you something, fellas. It's a handful when you've got as many dogs as we do.
Yeah.
But I used to run them all the time. And then I just took too many liberties. I took them to a field that was closed all the way down the sides for like a couple hundred yards. But it was open on the ends. And Lisa and her mom always put the fear of God in me that one of these days one of them's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a day where there was a squirrel and one of them ran.
Oh.
And I was like, so I don't do it anymore. So there's a football field by our house that's completely fenced in. And so I got up early and I took them all and I got a few of the tennis balls and a couple of the different hard rubber balls. And they ran. It was cool enough that they could run. They ran and they had, to their heart's content, they were good. I handed them off and then I took Taylor and she went on her trampolines and we spent some time. And then when, and I let that let Lisa work out. And then we all did some family things after that. I was like, you know what? That's what a Father's Day really should. It's not about the gifts. Lisa's all about, yeah, I didn't get a car. I don't need all that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's all good. As long as we're all together, I'm fine.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Well, good deal, man. Yeah. So we got that worked out.
Yeah. Didn't have a Father's Day drink or anything? No?
No. Because Lisa doesn't drink. I had several people offer. And then a lot of people said, well, what are you doing Wednesday after the golf tournament? I'm like, bro. Wednesday going night, home. Going home. Lisa's got to be in bed. Yeah, maybe this weekend or something like that. But yeah, it's just, it's another day. It's just, you know, like you said. So my birthday week can be like, oh, never mind.
Birthday week?
Yeah, that's your deal.
You
get birthday weeks, not me.
I swear to God, if you start.
No, I'm good.
If you show up with to the golf tournament with a dollar on your shirt.
Yeah.
I'm throwing golf balls.
You should do it just
you.
To aggravate. That would even be funny.
I'm throwing golf balls. At you.
And a button that says, hey, it's my birthday.
It's weak.
Yeah, no. It's not going to happen. I mean,
it's Joe Basic Bitch Blank.
Yeah, don't worry about all that. It ain't happening.
I know. You're not that guy. Thank God. Thank God. Hey, guys, I want to tell you right now, man. If you are, you know, it's the start of the week. You might have filled up. That's okay. You might have filled up the car for the week. If you haven't yet, stop what you're doing. Download GetUpside. Put it on your phone right now. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. You're going to love this app because if you like money, you're going to get a lot of it back by using it. In fact, someone literally just texted me and said, love the show, guys. I'm sitting next to a competing radio station's van filling up, getting cash back using Get Upside, and they're listening to your show. Dude, everybody's getting on the bandwagon with Get Upside. I love getting the screenshots. In fact, if you've got some, send them to me. I want to see how much money you're getting back. I love seeing y'all. I love seeing it work for the listeners. And if you haven't tried it yet, get on board, man, because it's going to work for you too. All you got to do is just download the app, put it on your phone, put in promo code Barry, and it's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up. So my wife got 30 cents the first time she used it. And look, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon. Are you always going to get up to 20? Are you always going to get 25 cents a gallon? Not necessarily, but it doesn't matter. As long as you're getting cash back, that's a positive. And then the same thing, you can get up to 35% cash back on your food. And all you need to do is do that a couple times and you're eating a meal for free every week. So it pays for itself, but it's free. That's what's crazy. This really doesn't cost you anything. There's no fees. There's no hidden gotchas or anything like that. You just put it on your phone and start getting cash back. And even if somebody walked up to you every time you ate lunch and gave you $1.50 or $2, you would absolutely take that money. So download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. Full roster intact. Barry's back off the injured list. He did his rehab assignment on Friday.
Yeah.
He's now back with the big league club, and we appreciate it on the big show. So let's roll on with hour number 2.
A couple of texts on the text line. Somebody said, shout out to the usual suspects. I didn't get to do the weight loss challenge, but y'all inspired me to lose weight. I am down 28 pounds in 5 weeks. I've been listening since the beginning. Well, I don't know who you are, sir and or ma'am, but congratulations to you.
No doubt.
That is badass. That's like 6 pounds a week almost.
That's great stuff.
Like, what do you do? Are you like...
Yeah, give us who you are so we can give you proper shout-outs.
Well, I'm just
And
like,
what are you doing to lose the weight?
Are you smoking crack? How
he's
do you
pooping.
Lose...
He's not eating. He's just...
I'm saying 6 pounds well, a week
don't eat,
is crazy.
Eventually, you run out of poop, dude. Yeah. I just want to break that for you.
I would... Yeah, that's a solid point. Trust me, my cat knows. Yeah,
and a lot of times, it's not solid at the end, so... Unless you eat.
Happy Father's Day, Bear. Hope the cat got you something nice. All right. Got to celebrate Father's Day and my daughter's first birthday yesterday. Definitely looking forward to more of both. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's got to be pretty cool if your kid was born on Father's Day or it just happens to fall that way. That would be pretty cool.
And then the bubble burster. Cody Stute sends me a text message. Happy last Father's Day with just one kid, Joel. Thanks, Cody. Appreciate that.
Appreciate you, buddy. No. It was weird. I was going through the text line. Remember, I was messing around with, I almost said it, Patrick Creighton. Because, you know, the whole Yordan thing, and I was told that he was talking about that and kind of throwing shade at me. Somebody had said, like, oh, I think he was throwing shade at you, Barry, because he mentioned that. And because that's been something that I've said. Yeah. It's weird, though, because I stumbled upon a tweet or a text, I should say, in our, you know how our text is really an inbox. It's an email box.
Right. And
there's a text in the draft. So it actually didn't come from Patrick Creighton to begin with. It was a listener. And I recognized the number. So your boy... Dr. Dre on 290 is the one that really started it. And I'm looking at the text and it says, are we allowed to get excited about your done yet? We've been told to temper our excitement. That doesn't mean you have to listen to me, Dr. Dre. I didn't realize that it upset you that much that I came out and was just trying to be a voice of reason because the dude had one at bat or one game. I didn't realize. I mean, look, is he playing great? Yeah, but that was my whole point. Let's let him become great. Before we, I'm so mad at Lance. I saw him in a your Air Yordan shirt.
He had it on Twitter.
Muff threw up. I almost blocked Lance on Instagram. He had the Air Yordan shirt on. I was like, you damn it, Lance, you're falling into the trap. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm glad he's succeeding and I'm glad he's doing it the right way. And from all accounts, he's a great kid and it's must watch TV. I'm not lying. We were all at Father's Day yesterday sitting around talking, and every at bat, the whole house got quiet. We watched Yordan Alvarez every at bat that he gets. And I'll be like, if I'm doing something in the house, Astros are on, I'll tell my wife, if he comes up, pause it. I'm going to come back and watch it. I want to see his at bats. It's something to behold.
And we've talked about the fact that he's not just a swing. You made the great analogy. He's not Chris Carter. He's got a good eye at the plate. Yeah, he could be, but he's got a good eye at the plate. He takes balls the opposite way.
Yeah.
So as a young guy, these are things that are skills you learn as you develop in the big leagues and throughout your career that he's already got going in his favor. So there's a lot of good. And like you said, if he's a good kid, you can tell right away because the veterans, they ain't having that. If you're going to come in with an attitude and think you're bigger than what they've already worked hard to build, you aren't going to fit in real well. You can tell he fits in.
And the knock on him was defense. And A.J. Hinch, I don't know, tell me if this sounds familiar. You guys tell me if this sounds familiar. This was actually said during the broadcast either yesterday or the day before. But during the broadcast, they said, hey, A.J. Hinch said, hey, let's temper all the excitement. A lot of people are saying great things about him, but there's a lot of people in the media suggesting that he might be a liability in the field. Let's just let the kid develop and see what happens. So I guess it's okay when A.J. Hinch says it, just not when I come on air and say it. Then I'm just being whatever it is that you guys think I'm being. But my whole point is exactly what A.J. Hinch said, because he went out and played left field, and I thought he did fine.
Barry, I don't know if you know that, but anytime you hear anything from an A.J., it's correct. Anytime that, even if you didn't say it first.
I didn't even know where he was going.
I didn't either. But if you said it first and it gets attributed to AJ, it's good. But if not, you're going to have to face the ramifications.
Yeah. And then they mentioned something on the broadcast a couple days ago that a texter just mentioned, which is part of the reason why I've been saying what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But this texter said when Tyler White came up, he was smashing and he won Player of the Month. Then what happened? And that's been my whole point.
I don't even know if that was the first time he came up either.
It absolutely was. His big league debut, like when he started the season, that first month, that April, Tyler White was Player of the Month in the American League for April. Just mashing everything that they threw over the plate, he hit. And then now we're like, oh, he's got to go. So that's the only point I'm making is let this kid become a star. And he seems to have all the tools to do that. Don't put any undue pressure on this kid. Let him develop. That's all that point of that
and
was.
And what we said last week, too, was don't make it an Aaron Judge situation so that you get all that extra pressure. One, the bonus is you're not in New York, where the media is just going to be gouging at you every minute. Uh-huh. But don't go over the top to where the kid feels like it's not only the pressure to perform, learn the field, and do the things you need to do your job, but now you feel even more pressure because you got to answer questions that are really going to be, you know, hard, and people are trying to push you to sign, you know, autographs and do logos and like all these other things. Just let him be him, do the, you know, and play the game, and you got a better chance to succeed.
Because you know what worries me is every time he comes up, it's kind of like with Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. Everyone expects him to hit a home run every time, and that's just not going to happen. Is he going to hit a bunch of them? Absolutely. He's proven his plate discipline thus far is good. He's got the strength, like you said, to go the opposite way. And it's not just Crawford boxed the opposite way. This is deep left center.
Oh, no doubt.
At the top of the train tracks the other way, effortlessly.
They said that he's only hit one ball under 400.
That one that he pulled into the right field fence that he scooped up like a nine. It's just, the kid is unbelievably strong. But I just don't, you worry that it, like the pressure of, hey, you got to hit a home run every time. That's when you start chasing. That's when you end up like a Singleton or Chris Carter or Tyler White is right now. That pressure that gets put on you. So that was the point. And that's okay. I realize I told you, I realize I'm setting myself up for criticism when I say that. And that's fine.
That's why we do it.
Just tweet it at me. You don't have to throw shade and send text to other shows when you know I'm not listening. And
well, don't you have
just
to
send it to me?
Follow
it's fine.
Them too in order to see them.
Yeah, I don't read any of that.
Okay, so I'm just checking. Oh, but by the way, but if they mention you,
yeah, that would
tag
see it.
You, I would then
see
you
it.
Would
yeah.
see it. So
yeah,
let's just
and I trust me when every time Jordan has hit a home run, my mentions.
Oh, I'm
blow.
Sure they do. There's one thing.
And most of them
you think
great.
I don't forget? Suspects never forget.
Oh,
they
my
remind
God.
Us of everything.
Last year, it was every Springer dinger, I would get 15 tweets.
Or every now, time Morrell said a shot was from Galveston.
Yes.
You got that one.
Now it's every time Jordan does something good. Like H-Town Blue is like, are you ready to hop on this Jordan Express train yet? I'm like, shut up, dude. I hate you.
Speaking of that, Morrell mentioned too, Jordan is the only guy that can turn Blummer into Clyde.
Oh, what
did you
do?
Hear the replays of some of the home runs that they've called on TV? Callis is like, there's another one. There it goes. And Blummer goes, oh, wow. And I'm like, you all have heard that before. Just another sport. All right.
That is
first
so
half
good.
Done. Second half around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books. 90 still to go in the big show.
AJ tried that on Friday.
I heard it. I heard him trip all over himself.
He was like, one in the books, 179 still to go or something. Like,
and as much
so
as
dumb.
You have to tread lightly because then he'll come at you, I did appreciate you saying, hey, look, people realize that he quit doing it and wanted him to keep doing it. So
I speak facts.
Yeah, we have staples of our show, so sure. Just leave us alone.
I speak facts.
Good thing he's not critical, personal, or harsh on his own staff, especially on air.
Jeez. H-Town Blue texted. He's like, you know I love you, Barry. I'm just clowning. I know. Yeah. Most 90% of the Jordan tweets are all in good. I totally get it. I mean, totally. I'm not upset at all. Trust me. I would just put my phone down during Astros games if I was.
Yeah, so the thing is that, and again, you get certain Astros fans that just freak out because they get beat mm-hmm. in the last game of a series. They won the series. They won mm-hmm. the first two games convincingly. They just have set a really kind of a not a good look precedent from the standpoint of these things happen, but certain people are going to overreact because when they do lose lately, they do it in style.
It seems like that, but because I thought the same thing. I was like, boy, when they lose, they lose.
they're like, you know what? We're not just going to toot the bed. We're going to crap all in this and have to buy a new bed. But, I mean, that. So the 12-0 loss, previous loss of the Brewers was 6-3. That's not awful. Six runs is a lot.
There was another one.
It was 14-1.
Yeah, there you go.
That was the Mariners loss right in the middle of the big winning – well, I guess not a big winning streak. But then, I mean, there are other losses. I'm just looking at their recent schedule. So they've got the 6-3, 4-1.
There were some people losing their 2-1, damn minds.
2-1, 4-1. I mean, this
is... On Twitter going, this is not the sign of a championship-caliber team.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, dude, it's the middle of the season. You're not even at the All-Star break yet, and that's your reaction after you have taken care of business handily for the last month with all the injuries you've had?
Yeah, I don't know whoever would say that, but they should just stop watching baseball.
And the good news
was
a lot of rational Astros fans were retweeting these people going, really? Slow down a little bit, man.
Hey, that's when you need to get hot takes exposed or whatever the hell that is. Cold takes exposed or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, yes.
Because somebody I thought they were implying that my Yordan take was a hot take. And I'm like, that's not even a take. It's just saying everyone chill.
Just temper it.
I didn't say he was good or bad. I'm just saying chill.
For all involved, yeah. Just temper it. That's all you got to do.
But stuff like this isn't a championship team. That's a total hot take. That's a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
Old takes exposed. That's what it is. Yep. Thank you, Nicholas. This is the next couple of weeks is going to be a little interesting. You go on the road, which means no DH,
right?
So you get a little bit of an adjustment there. Now you got Miley, Verlander, and Cole on the mound. So you got one guy that you know,
two guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Miley with the Brewers,
yeah, and then Cole with the Pirates. So we'll see what Verlander does with a stick.
I'm not expecting much there. Just don't get hurt.
As soon as I said it, Nick's face.
I wasn't even paying attention, and then he said
that. Leans over and looks at me like, "Did you just say what I?"
He can either be,
or do I need to dump you?
The big dog or the shih tzu?
See, he's gonna every time. Like
it's never gonna fail.
Why you've taken something that was beautiful when it was the whole rooster, yeah, and you're just wearing it.
Takes exposed needs to get you.
Barry, let me tell you something.
Listen,
don't be a pussy, Willow.
Let's just
move on.
The whole rooster thing was a one-time thing that should have been left alone. And then Joel got a hold of it. And he's... So you got that. Then they go on the road to New York.
That's big.
That's going to be big. No Cole in that series. So you're going to get Valdez, Peacock, Miley, and Verlander.
And they're getting healthy. If you missed it, they traded for Encarnacion, a guy that we mentioned on the show would be a pretty nice add-on for the Astros. If you listened to what has been printed about the whole process about Seattle trading him, the Astros were deeply in the mix, but at the end of the day, they were not willing to pick up enough of the finances of the remainder of his contract. The Yankees were. That's a no-brainer when you talk about the revenue streams the Yankees have as opposed to the Astros. I'm sure the Astros were willing to give up an extra prospect or two.
Sure.
But they just weren't going to take on a majority of that contract.
But I would imagine, though, that as those talks progress and Yordan Alvarez comes up and starts doing what he's done, that the Astros probably softened a little bit on their stance with the Mariners. Like, you want us to pay how much? Like, we kind of feel like we may have found a DH. Yeah. Like, just getting Alvarez up here and let him work things out and figure it out. And by the time September, October rolls around, he's going to be... Because you're not necessarily... The Astros don't need to make moves to win the regular season. That's probably a done deal at this point.
I'm with you.
Any moves you make are strictly for the playoffs, are strictly for a championship run in the postseason. Right. So you make a move for a DH, not for now. But they may have looked at that and said, well, you know what? Abreu is still out there, who I think is a name you still need to keep on the list. But they may have found their DH.
I was going to say, and best case scenario, if they found their DH, now they move to starting pitching going, okay, well, guys that we were really kind of earmarked for possible trade bait in the minors to get us a hitter, now all we got to do is take those guys and turn them around and start focusing on an extra pitcher if we really want to make one final move or push or two before the trading deadline, like you said, just for the playoffs.
Yeah. And if Ramón Valdez can keep finding the strike zone, and pitching the way he's pitching.
Yeah. What a difference
he's
that makes.
He's got the stuff to be a really good starter. Not great, but I think he can be good. And, you know, if you get Colin McHugh back and he figures it out, I mean, this is a thing where the Astros are in the position where they don't absolutely have to make a move like in years past.
And here's the thing we found out about Valdez so far, which is something that we hope is the case with Josh James as well. there are certain people, certain pitchers that have the mentality or have been conditioned to where they do one or the other. So if you're a starter, then you're just a starter. And if it means getting on a big league roster, then you're going to go to the bullpen and you're going to try and be a reliever. It's a different mentality. A lot of times it's a different delivery because you're in the stretch a lot more than you are the windup. Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. We saw that Valdez had a lot of problems with control, as you mentioned, Barry, when he was a reliever. But now all of a sudden he goes back to being a starter. Two great, really solid starts for him coming back. So you relax a little bit and go, you know what? Maybe that's it with Josh James too. Because as a starter, he and Valdez both were great for this team in the regular season. Was it last year? It was last year.
Yeah.
So maybe, again, while you're kicking the tires on everything else, if the opportunity presents itself, if maybe McHugh or someone isn't ready to go, or if Josh James gets a spot start or a couple, you can see if maybe that's the case with him too.
Yeah, I like the potential of a guy like Framber Valdez and what he can bring. And him and Josh James both have the appearances of being good arms. I don't think either one of them are necessarily an ace yet. But if they're your three or four in a rotation, you're doing pretty well. And you know, Peacock is going to have bad games. He didn't have a great game yesterday, obviously. Yep. He's had a couple of outings like that, but that's okay. This is, you know, one through three, you're solid. Like you're doing well. I don't think it's as good as I don't think it's as good as last year's rotation.
I agree with
obviously.
You. I agree.
But it's good enough to win you a World Series one through three.
And here's the thing, like Blummer talks about all the time too, and a lot of pitchers tell you that all the time too, which is Berkman was the one that really brought it up. There's a huge difference between being a thrower and being a pitcher. Mm-hmm. When you learn to pitch is when you know how the thinking part of the game goes, and you know you don't have to overpower every hitter, but you know how to keep guys off balance. Not every pitch has to be in the strike zone. You don't have to be perfect. I think James is a guy that relies so much on the fact that he has got a rocket of an arm that he hasn't learned how to pitch yet.
Yeah.
Valdez seems like when you put him in the starting rotation, he knows he's got a pitch, and it seems like things are clicking with him a little quicker.
Yeah, his last year, his numbers, 8 games, 5 starts. He had a 2.19 ERA, which is pretty good, and a 1.24 whip. So it tells you, I mean, whip is, if you don't know, walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. Mm-hmm. It's an idea of how much traffic is on the base paths given up by a particular pitcher. So you want to stay under 1.2. That's a mark of a good pitcher. A good whip is below 1.2. And he was at 1.24, so he was okay. But this year, he's got the 16 games pitched. He's got 2 starts, but his whip is 1.18. His ERA is a little higher than it was last year at 2.77, but that's going to be the case usually when you start getting more starts. But I think, you know, he's already got more strikeouts in his 16 games and 2 starts than he did last year in his 5 starts. So Valdez doesn't scare me as much unless he's not staying in the strike zone. But I think they preach that to him.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
And
he knows if he wants to stick, he better throw strikes.
And I also go back to, that's his comfort zone.
Yeah.
If he's been a starter most of his life, then he feels most comfortable when he's truly in control. He doesn't come into a game in a high leverage situation. Guys on base, he didn't ask for right from the stretch, you know, with a pressure cooker. He sets the table for himself, which means he relaxes more, does things his way, and he's in more control of the game. That's why I'm getting more confidence in him, but I also realize maybe some guys just aren't, you know, made out to be relievers, and he might be one of those guys.
That's true.
So
Billy Wagner was a starter when he came up.
Yeah, exactly right.
They moved him to the bullpen for the opposite reason.
John Smoltz was one of the rare guys that could do both and do them extremely well. Yeah, Eck was another one, but they're few and far between. In most cases, you get a guy, if you're labeled a starter coming up in your career, that's what you are. Other guys get that mentality. They can handle the stress. They can just throw it no matter which way, wind up or stretch, and then they become a bullpen guy. Yeah. So it's interesting to see how it all shakes out. Good news is you got arms. And the guys are actually performing when you put them in the games, and you're finding these spots while you're still winning games. So the Astros in Cincinnati, early start time tonight, 6:10. Is it still Riverfront?
Well, that's a good question. Let me pull up the...
Yeah, I think it's still Riverfront, but the...
Don't they tell you the stadium on like the ESPN homepage when you go to the GameCast or whatever? Here, I'll tell you what it is. It is... Oh, hell. Great American Ballpark.
Oh, Great American Ballpark.
Not
Riverfront anymore.
Very generic. Riverfront.
Yeah.
I don't give a shot. Oh, that's Marge Schott. Golly. No, okay, sorry. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. Lots of other things to get to. We missed you on Friday, but all kinds of crap going on Kirby.
Oh,
with
yeah.
that whole scenario. So we'll get your takes on some of that stuff as well. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
For something to do this weekend, visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the big show continues on ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel, AJ making guest appearances during breaks just to check in. Everything's sunshine and rainbows like a good blog right here on The Usual Suspects as we covered a little Astros.
Did he tell you what he instructed the intern to do?
Yeah. Tell him every time we talk about him.
Is to document. Every yeah. time you guys talk crap about him, intern Paige has the duty of documenting that and letting him know. So we have a squeal.
That's the sensitivity.
A squeal on the show.
That's the sensitivity I'm talking about.
I hope that he knows why Joel is doing that. This is retribution for Friday.
Correct.
And I told him, when he was starting all this, I was like, he is never going to let you or me live this down. He was like, yeah, I don't care. You have to deal with that, not me. So I was like, he started this is the whole summation of it.
Yeah.
He started it.
Because he was telling me what he was telling the interns. I go, bro, so then the fact that if I don't forget my computer, I don't even have any interaction with an intern for them to give me the full report on all you were saying. He's like, yeah, it's a different story. I'm not worried about that. I go, right. So I get it. See that again. That's the sensitivity factor.
Hey, can I plug something real quick?
Sure.
I'm really proud of what we've been doing on the Houston Sports Show with the Barry on sports. Uh-huh. This week was a lot of fun. If you haven't, go. At Barry is funny. I retweeted it out from the Houston Sports Show account. But Jerome Solomon went Pulp Fiction during that, and then I had do you remember CSI when the dude would put the sunglasses on and make a bad pun? Yeah, there was one of those moments. This is a fun week. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's a good week to catch the first one. So that very is funny. Go check it out.
There you go.
Yep.
We'll throw a plug out here as well for the best player on the planet, James Harden. His pro camp is right around the corner. James Harden wants to play basketball with your kids. You can attend the James Harden Basketball Pro Camp in partnership with Kroger, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kids in grades 1st through 12th grade can join Harden July 20th and 21st at the MI3 Center. Head to ESPN975.com to register to win a spot for one lucky kid to join James and his Houston area coaches for small group instruction on basketball fundamentals and fun. So check it out, ESPN975.com.
Do you follow OJ on Twitter?
I got wind of the fact that he was going to be on Twitter and he was making some kind of stupid comment about he had people to get revenge on something.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's...
Here's how it sounded like, actually. I got the audio.
Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
I'm going to kill y'all. That was, if you run that through a translator, that's funny. That's a weird thing to say. And then I'm wondering, like, who, this dude has 500,000 followers already.
Yeah. The people are giving him attention, so he'll take advantage of it.
He absolutely he is. And I think he's following like 8 accounts.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
The most, like Cutco Knives and...
Maybe. So who's he getting even with?
that was a joke we did on
but
the...
But I will say this. You are CSI Internet because of the fact that you were spelling out for people that that's a 0, not an O.
Yeah.
And that's how you can figure out some of the fake
accounts. Randizzle fell for a troll account, and it happens. But he was like, look at this. This is crazy. And I'm like, bro, I fell for a troll account this morning because someone else tweeted out. There's this, we've talked about her before, but there's this account on Twitter where she's like a feminist, but it's a fake account, but she says the most outlandish things. And this fake account was like, I don't know why people are so sensitive about Native Americans. They've never been treated as bad as black people. They've never been killed or I was like, I was like, you stupid ass. And then I looked, I was like, oh man, this is that troll account. I had to delete it. But the OJ one, because you heard him in the audio that Nick played. He said, this is the only legitimate account for me. It's real OJ 32. Well, the problem is you can, that zero looks like an O. So someone created real OJ 32 with a zero, and their first tweet was like, yeah, I killed her. Like, what? And then it just was all these awful, awful tweets about, one of them was like, you know, it was a conversation between, it just said me and wife. And it was like, hey, why didn't you make anything for dinner? Hey, why didn't you make anything for dinner? Oh, that's right, because I killed you. I was like, oh my God, this is awful. And yeah, a lot of people were falling for that.
He didn't realize it's not just outward what he decides to put out there. People sending him all kinds of messages, too.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely talk back. And there was one lady in Branson was like, you need to be killed. Bring your black ass to Branson and I'll kill you. I was like, what are you doing, lady? That's the other thing, too. You have to keep in mind, if you are going to talk mess to people on the internet, they can screenshot.
I was
going to
say,
if you're going to say mean things or racist things or whatever it is you feel like saying,
you ain't got no proof. Well, actually, we do. And it's in writing.
That's how it works. Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
Pretty interesting.
But if you're OJ, just go away.
So are you going to follow him on Twitter?
No. Josh Rapp already says he is.
Josh Rapp?
Yeah, he said, of course, he's waiting for the train to wreck.
Way to support alleged murder, Josh Rapp, because that's what you're doing.
And even if it wasn't just alleged murder, then think about the whole autograph thing scam when he went and he stole his stuff back, and then he started wanting to kill the people that were involved with taking it.
Yeah.
And he went to jail for a long time for it. He's not a good guy.
No, and I watch him, and I just sit there and think, this dude is out here living his best life, having been accused of murder. Mm-hmm. Most people in this country think he did it. Mm-hmm. Or I shouldn't say most. I think most, and even people that say they don't, probably know deep down that, but they just don't want to, you know, there's always going to be people that take a contrarian position on everything. But I'm just like, this dude is out here. He got away with it.
I've said this before.
He allegedly got away with it because civilly he lost, right? Like, he lost the civil case.
But here's the thing: he was living his best life and didn't have to do any of that. He was doing football and getting all kinds of exposure. He was doing commercials with Hertz running through airports and all these different commercials where his endorsement deals were through the roof. He was doing movies and television, including the airplane movies, and getting all kinds of exposure for all of that. And before Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and all these athletes that were getting into entertainment, he was huge, he was beloved, and he was going to continue to get all of that and more. And he had his pick of any and every woman, whether he was faithful to Nicole or not.
He probably would have been like an ESPN or NFL Network analyst at this point.
Think about that. You're absolutely right, Nick, because this was before all the cable networks and how big television has gotten. He'd have people fighting for his services.
Yeah. He'd have a big contract for some big network, whether it's a media outlet or TV. He would definitely be on TV.
You know who he'd be? Sure. You know who he'd be, guys? He'd be Michael Strahan. He'd be the guy that eventually crossed over after playing from just being on TV for sports and acting. He'd host game shows or talk shows or do whatever. He had the whole world by the grapes and then just went off the deep end.
Now, see, like Ivan tagged us on a tweet where it said he's threatening this dude, and there's an account called Killer OJ Simpson. And it's showing some screenshots. And based on the screenshots, it says, you think I'm playing MF-er? And then the killer OJ Simpson guy says, sadly, no. Here's the problem with these kind of screenshots. You can also fake these.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is fake or not.
How many people have faked the Woj bombs?
Yeah.
With the blue check and everything.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about all that.
You do got to be careful.
By the way, gentlemen, on this day in 1994, as the Rockets were in NBA Finals Game 5, OJ was in the white Bronco.
That occurred.
Can't forget that.
In 1994.
I remember being at a club and that the Rockets were on. We were showing the Rockets, and that got preempted.
I was in a hotel room in Washington getting ready to play a softball regional tournament, watching that game going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Rudy said, someone caught Rudy on it. He goes, we were in a timeout, and my players were trying to look on the scores table, and I'm like, what are you looking at? And they're like,
OJ's on the run.
OJ's on the run. He just flipped out. So it's crazy. Yeah. All right, two of the books, 1 hour still to go. So we've got 60 minutes on the clock and plenty more to get to. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.